Hey, I'm Scott Hanselman, and it's Azure Friday. We're here with Adrian Hall, PM on the Azure team, and you've got some cool stuff for me.
I do indeed. Mobile Center, Visual Studio Mobile Center, got launched at Connect in November, and we have added the ability to do an Azure backend for your cloud data and identity so that you can integrate your data and identity with the cloud from your mobile app without any code whatsoever.
Interesting. It's interesting that it's called Visual Studio Mobile Center and not Azure Mobile Center, because it's really for developers, right?
It's really for developers, yeah, absolutely. So what I've got on the screen is the Mobile Center main screen. I've got no apps. It's a brand new login. If you want to log in yourself, you can sign up with your Microsoft account or your GitHub account, or if you've got Hockey app from the before November days, then you can sign up with your Hockey app account as well. And I'm just going to go to mobile.azure.com, nice. Thing, log in, and then you'll get this page. I'm going to click on Add a New App, and I'm going to just create a new, why don't I just do, since I'm on a Mac, a Swift application. Click on Add.
And cool, I see also React in there, which is nice.
Yep, we do React Native, we'll be doing Cordova, we'll be doing Universal Windows, so pretty much everything, and plus the native ones as well.
Cool.
And what I'm going to do, since I've already got an application, it's based on the Azure Mobile Apps Quick Start, which is a nice task list type thing that we use for a lot of our demos. I'm going to create the back end for that. And I'm going to go over to here, and this actually expands out when you've got a bigger screen. I'm going to go over to Tables.
Such a nice UI. The mobile stuff on Azure, just as an aside, has always had some of the most polished quick starts, and it's been a joy as a developer to use.
Wonderful, thanks. So the first thing you're going to do is connect your Mobile Center account to your Azure subscription.
Okay.
So click on Connect Subscription, and it will normally ask you to log in. I've already logged in. At least I hope I've logged in. It's thinking about it. Select a subscription. I've got a demo account here. If you've got more than one subscription available to you, it will prompt you for the list like it does here. Otherwise, you can just click through. If you don't have an Azure subscription, you get the 1 month free $200. If you're in the US, you can just click on create a subscription. It will do it for you.
Okay.
And we're going to connect that subscription. It's going to just do the association in the back side, and then it's just going to create the back end for you.
Okay, so is it making me a website? Is it making me an Azure app service with a lot of stuff?
Absolutely. What it's going to do is create a resource group for you, so you can delete it and manage it easily, check on the price of it from within the portal.
Okay.
You'll actually see a mobile dash some GUID that's associated with your account. You're also going to see an app service plan that is initially set to the free plan.
Good.
And is going to be stored in the South Central US region.
Okay.
We are going to be adding a feature which allows you to pick the region. So if you're in Europe, you can pick Northern Europe, things like that. You're also going to see a mobile app that's going to be on the free plan as well. And that's going to have a SQLite database underneath. So what we've done is we've set it up so that the first initial iteration when you're in development is completely free.
Okay, so this is something that I could go to the Azure portal and potentially cobble together myself.
Yes, absolutely.
But you've automated all of that, created that template and all the things that I potentially need, started me out at free for my prototype, for my initial product or game, and then I can go and scale that and manage that using all the same tools that I'm used to using with Azure.
Correct, absolutely. Nice. So let's we rely on a table. So I'm going to create a table here. We'll call it to-do item because we're doing a task list. The big thing here is dynamic schema. So instead of managing all the fields in your SQL table, so normally you would have to create a SQL table and create all the fields that you want to use and give them types, we're going to do dynamic schema. And that means that whatever your application submits to the back end, we're just going to automatically create the fields that you need.
Okay, so it's still SQL Server, it's not DocumentDB.
Correct.
But you are treating it like a dynamic schema because when you're doing a mobile app, you're always going to want to add one more column.
Yeah, you add one more column. Now, later on, when you go to production and you kind of want to say, okay, I don't want people, random strangers that are not in my development team dealing with that, you might want to lock down that schema, which is something, obviously, the difference between NoSQL and SQL is you don't get that lockdown.
Sure.
So we've got SQL Server there. We can lock it down later. We can turn that dynamic schema off, and it will just create the fields and keep them static.
Right, like and that's not just a security thing. That's really more of a performance thing as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. You can also create indices on specific fields and such like. So I've got the table created. That's all it took. Mm-hmm. Just create a table, to-do item, save.
And because you picked iOS, you picked Swift or Objective-C, they're giving you a little piece of code there to show you that if you picked React, it would have been giving you tips in JavaScript.
Yep, absolutely. So when I close the table definition, you can see the table is now listed here. And this string here is my mobile backend. And you can see that mobile dash some big long GUID. That's mm-hmm. the name of the resource group. It's the name of the app service plan. It's the name of all the resources that are created on behalf. So I'm going to copy that, and I'm going to switch over now to Xcode.
Do we treat that URI like a connection string almost?
It's basically embedded into your application. So, mm-hmm.
Is it a secret, or is there a
security? No, it's not. It's not a secret. You can actually go to the URL. It's just an endpoint. Mm-hmm. There is no such thing as secure client-server communication unless you're doing certificate matching. Soon as you've distributed your app, mm-hmm. you've distributed the secret.
I see.
So, it's kind of one of those things that all of these apps are easily manipulatable. If someone wants to get into your backend, they can do. I'm going to copy it into this MS client. This is a standard piece of Azure Mobile Apps. It's using the standard Azure Mobile Apps SDK. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to save that.
So MS Client and all this right now, just to point out, you're in Swift.
I'm in Swift.
In Xcode right here, and people who know Swift will find all of this very familiar. Yep. And the MS Client that you brought into Swift, that library, it feels Swifty. It feels idiomatically
Swift. It's very Swifty. We try to do a good combination between people that write cross-platform apps and switch between languages. Particularly, we get a lot of people switching between Swift and Java for Android. Mm. We try to make them as close as possible in the semantics, but they've got Swiftiness or Objective-C-ness or Java-ness, mm-hmm. so that you're somewhat familiar with the language. You should be good to go.
Right.
We also support .NET and JavaScript, of course. It's a thing. The big one is how we do queries, for example, is very similar between libraries. So it's based on Link. So mm-hmm. we've got a library called Query.js that looks very much like Link,
nice.
But it's JavaScript. We've got one for iOS. We've got one for Android as well.
So someone who is an iOS developer right now, they're putting these databases together themselves,
yep.
right? They're
yep, absolutely.
Making their own backend. They're thinking about the database, the schema, the REST API. This has removed kind of yep. 70% of the pie chart of stuff they have to worry about.
Yep.
They just write their app.
They just write their app. And we also, one of the big benefits of Azure Mobile Apps is the offline sync capability. And we deal with all of the bandwidth optimization, the incremental sync capability, the optimistic concurrency, which is basically where we check the validity of the record when it mm-hmm. gets uploaded rather than checking with the server all the time, conflict resolution. What happens when two devices change the same record at the same time? We deal with all that for you. So you only have to write a very small amount of code to deal with the UI mm-hmm. rather than the vast majority of it to deal with the sync capabilities.
So it seems like Mobile Center is encapsulated best practices for any cloud
Absolutely.
Backend.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And so when I run this, I'm going to get a, there's my simulator.
Okay.
And it's going to
bring up your sample app.
Bring up my sample app.
Yeah.
Slowly.
There we go.
And there we go. And I can just, I forgot to wipe out my test data.
That's all good.
I can go as a test item. And I'm going to save it. And then I'm going to refresh. You notice we've got pull to refresh.
Nice.
Standard iOS type right. things. And now if I go back to my to-do item table, we will see the items are right there.
Nice.
So we've got full offline sync, pull to refresh, push out to the cloud, full data browser within Mobile Center.
Would it be hard, do you think, for someone to take an existing backend and move it over to Data Center, to Mobile Center? If I've got a Mongo database or whatever, I could go and write the for loops and push it in and basically say, this is silly, I've been doing all this myself, I want Mobile Center to take over.
It would be hard to take a NoSQL database and transfer it into the SQL semantics, but any SQL database, MySQL, Postgres, something like that, mm-hmm. you'd be able to bring in fairly easily. It's just a field mapping exercise in essence.
Very cool.
So yeah.
And here, of course, I can edit the schema, and then you said I can lock it down, but it's totally dynamic.
Yeah, absolutely. We can lock it down. You can see the text and complete have been added here. We can trash them. We can do searches on them by adding indexes. So we can also add columns if we know that we're bringing things up. And the other thing is this is integrated with our other capability, which is identity. Now, I don't have any identity provider set up. You have to actually set up the identity provider first. So you have to go and sign up for a Facebook developer.
So you register an app, a Facebook app, a Twitter app.
Yep. You get the app ID and the app secret or whatever the provider calls those things.
Right.
You then, if I just go into Facebook, for example,
you
put the app ID and app secret in there and you'll be set up.
Right.
And then if we go back to our table, you can actually drop this down here
and change permissions. And that's the security I was asking about earlier. Here you were saying that, it's wide open, it's anonymous. You click per user data, and then those to-dos are owned by me and my Facebook.
Yep, and you can also do more security. So you can say authenticated, even if you have no per user data, you can say this can only be read. Or you can say, I'm not going to allow people to delete records,
mm-hmm.
so I'm going to disable that API. And then it's disabled on the actual server side. So we always say do security on the server side, do all your filtering and stuff like that on the client side.
Okay, so people can sign up for this at mobile.azure.com.
Correct.
And it'll take care of all the hard stuff for you.
Yep.
Very cool. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
We're learning all about Visual Studio Mobile Center here on Azure Friday.